Coming up on KSDP News, survivors commemorate World War II at Alaska's National Cemetery, and Alaska legislators struggle over passing taxes. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on June 13, 2017. 75 years ago, the Japanese bombed Dutch Harbor and invaded two Aleutian Islands. Nearly 900 Unangak were evacuated to southeast Alaska, where they lived in abysmal camps until the end of World War II. Last week, a group of military officials, foreign dignitaries, and survivors gathered at the Fort Richardson National Cemetery to remember the events. APRN's Zachariah Hughes reports.
Patchy clouds hang over a grassy lawn, uniformly dotted with white grave markers. A brass band plays, and soldiers in dress uniforms practice rifle drills. A few dozen folding chairs face a podium, while a flag the size of a garage door flaps at half-mast.
Please be seated.
Retired Air Force Colonel Sue Ellen Novak is the master of ceremonies for an hour-long event honoring everyone affected during the Aleutian campaign.
Just a short version of World War II in Alaska.
Novak is also the director of the state's Veterans Museum and paints a vivid picture of just how dramatically the state was transformed by the conflict.
Alaska was a military backwater with obsolete aircraft, no Navy to speak of, and few troops until just after Pearl Harbor.
The bombing of Dutch Harbor and Unalaska changed that. The attack prompted a massive military buildup and modernization effort, including construction of the Alcan Highway to send lend-lease equipment to the Soviet Union, as well as the formation of the Alaska Territorial Guard. On hand at the ceremony was Masatoshi Sato of Japan's consular office in Anchorage, who says relations between his country and Alaska are vastly improved in the decades since the war.
While we continue to look towards the future, it is important to remember the past, to avoid repeating the mistakes that cost the lives of so many.
Among those mistakes was the U.S. government's internment of more than 100,000 citizens, the majority of them Japanese Americans on the West Coast, including Alaska. Not far from this cemetery, Fort Richardson briefly had a small camp that held men of Japanese, German, and Italian ancestry. And though they were evacuated under the pretense of safety, nearly 1,000 Unangan people from the Aleutian Islands were held in derelict camps scattered across southeast. Marie Matsuno Nash is with the Japanese American Citizens League and has ties to both the Aleutians and Japan. Her family was put in an internment camp out of state, which is where she was born.
The Alaskans who were interned in those camps, as well as the Aleuts who were sent to camps in southeastern Alaska, share a common history of forced removal from their homes and placed in locations foreign to them.
One of those evacuees is 91-year-old George Gordioff. He was 16 the night of the Japanese attack.
I left Alaska the night before the bombing.
He'd been ferrying supplies to a nearby island and watched Japanese planes streaming overhead, many of them still smoking from bullet strikes from anti-aircraft guns. In the days after, Gordioff was evacuated, packed onto a boat.
It was scary. Everything was scary. We didn't know where they were taking us, and took us to Durango.
There were hundreds of people, more than the tiny government school they were brought to could accommodate. Eventually, Gordioff and others slept in army tents put out on the lawn. He worked as a cook.
The thing was, there was nothing to cook. School was closed. They had a lot of canned vegetables and stuff like that, but no meats or nothing that, you know, you can, except bacon. We had two big boxes of bacon, so we had bacon for everything.
Gordioff eventually joined the army, but didn't return to Unalaska after the war. As the ceremony ends, National Guardsmen fire a salute, remembrance wreaths are laid, and Marie Matsuno Nash, the woman born in an internment camp, hands folded paper cranes to every member of the audience as a sign of peace. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
The U.S. Coast Guard rescued a sick fisherman yesterday from a vessel in Unimak Pass. The fishing vessel Cape Grieg was fishing 80 miles east of Unalaska when its crew requested a medevac for the 47-year-old man. He was found unconscious and suffering from possible seizures. The Coast Guard cutter Midget sent a helicopter crew to rescue the fisherman and bring him to Unalaska before he was transported to Anchorage for further care. The House Finance Committee turned its attention yesterday to attacks that Governor Bill Walker included in his proposal for a budget compromise. The tax has been called a few different names, including a head tax and an income tax. Yesterday, House finance aides referred to it as a payroll tax. That's because it would only take the money from people who are paid for their work from their employer's payroll or their self-employment. But other forms of income, like the money people make on investments, would not be taxed. Representative Lascara, a Democrat from Anchorage, says he'd rather have oil and gas companies pay more in taxes.
The wealthiest pay the lowest percentage of their income under this bill the way it's written, and the lowest income pay the highest percentage of their income under the way this bill is written, which seems a little backwards to me, or quite backwards.
Under Walker's proposal, workers would pay one of five tax amounts, ranging from $50 for people making less than $20,000 per year to $500 for those earning more than $500,000. That's not set in stone, though. Arnold Liebelt works for Homer Representative Paul Seaton, co-chair of the House Finance Committee. He says lawmakers could change the number of tax levels or make the tax more equitable across the income spectrum.
There's so many different ways that this can be sliced and diced.
Representative Tammy Wilson was skeptical of the tax. The North Pole Republican says that under Walker's proposal, some self-employed people could deduct expenses before paying the tax, while employees could not.
It's another thing just to bring up that when we're trying to be fair, fair is something you go to in the summertime. You can't always be fair when it comes to taxes.
Both the House and Senate have passed bills to close most of the gap between the state government, between what the state government spends and what it earns. They've agreed on drawing from permanent fund earnings and reducing permanent fund dividends. But the House majority wants to set dividends at a higher level than the state or the Senate. And while the House wants to raise taxes on income and on oil and gas companies, the Senate prefers deeper spending cuts. The special session will end on Friday. The legislator has until the end of the month to pass a budget to avoid a state government shutdown. And that's it for the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.